Harper Audio presents Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. The New York Times says of this recording, several stars have joined voices, dividing up passages from a classic work of fiction to compelling effect.
There's a letter for you, Mrs. Linton. You must read it immediately because it wants an answer. It is from Mr. Heathcliff. There was a start, and a troubled gleam of recollection, and a struggle to arrange her ideas. She lifted the letter and seemed to peruse it, and when she came to the signature, she sighed. Yet still I found she had not gathered its import, for upon my desiring to hear her reply, she merely pointed to the name and gazed at me with mournful and questioning eagerness. "Well, he wishes to see you. He's in the garden by this time and impatient to know what answer I shall bring." Mrs. Linton bent forward and listened breathlessly. The minute after, a step traversed the hall. The open house was too tempting for Heathcliff to resist walking in. Most likely, he supposed that I was inclined to shirk my promise and so resolved to trust to his own audacity. With straining eagerness, Catherine gazed toward the entrance of her chamber. He did not hit the right room directly. She motioned me to admit him, but he found it out ere I could reach the door, and in a stride or two was at her side and had her grasped in his arms. He neither spoke nor loosed his hold for some 5 minutes, during which period he bestowed more kisses than ever he gave in his life before, I dare say. But then my mistress had kissed him first, and I plainly saw that he could hardly bear for downright agony to look into her face. The same conviction had stricken him as me from the instant he beheld her, that there was no prospect of ultimate recovery there. She was fated sure to die.
"Oh, Cathy, oh, my life, how can I bear it?"
"What now? You and Edgar have broken my heart, Heathcliff. And you both come to bewail the deed to me as if you were the people to be pitied. I shall not pity you, not I. You have killed me, and thriven on it, I think. How strong you are. How many years do you mean to live after I am gone? I wish I could hold you till we were both dead. I shouldn't care what you suffered. I care nothing for your sufferings. Why shouldn't you suffer? I do. Will you forget me? Will you be happy when I am in the earth? Will you say 20 years hence, that's the grave of Catherine Earnshaw? I loved her long ago and was wretched to lose her, but it is past. I've loved many others since. My children are dearer to me than she was. And at death I shall not rejoice that I am going to her. I shall be sorry that I must leave them. Will you say so, Heathcliff?"
"Don't torture me till I'm as mad as yourself. Are you possessed with a devil to talk in that manner to me when you're dying? Do you reflect that all those words will be branded in my memory and eating deeper eternally after you've left me? You know you lie to say I have killed you. And Catherine, you know that I could as soon forget you as my existence. Is it not sufficient for your infernal selfishness that while you are at peace, I shall writhe in the torments of hell?"
"I shall not be at peace. I'm not wishing you greater torment than I have, Heathcliff. I only wish us never to be parted. And should a word of mine distress you hereafter, think I feel the same distress underground, and for my own sake, forgive me. Come here and kneel down again. You never harmed me in your life. Nay, if you nurse anger, that will be worse to remember than my harsh words. Won't you come here again? Do."
Heathcliff went to the back of her chair and leant over, but not so far as to let her see his face, which was livid with emotion. She bent round to look at him. He would not permit it. Turning abruptly, he walked to the fireplace, where he stood, silent, with his back towards us. Mrs. Linton's glance followed him suspiciously. Every movement woke a new sentiment in her. After a pause and a prolonged gaze, she resumed, addressing me in accents of indignant disappointment.
Oh, you see, Nellie, he would not relent a moment to keep me out of the grave. That is how I'm loved. Well, never mind. That is not my Heathcliff. I shall love mine yet, and take him with me. He's in my soul. And the thing that irks me most is this shattered prison, after all. I'm tired of being enclosed here. I'm wearying to escape into that glorious world and to be always there, not seeing it dimly through tears and yearning for it through the walls of an aching heart, but really with it and in it. Nellie, you think you are better and more fortunate than I, in full health and strength. You are sorry for me. Very soon that will be altered. I shall be sorry for you. I shall be incomparably beyond and above you all. I wonder he won't be near me. I thought he wished it. Heathcliff, dear, you should not be sullen now. Do come to me, Heathcliff.
You teach me now how cruel you've been. Cruel and false. Why did you despise me? Why did you betray your own heart, Cathy? I have not one word of comfort. You deserve this. You have killed yourself. Yes, you may kiss me and cry and wring out my kisses and tears. They'll blight you. They'll damn you. You loved me. Then what right had you to leave me? What right? Answer me. For the poor fancy that you felt for Linton. Because misery and degradation and death and nothing that God or Satan could inflict would have parted us. You of your own will did it. I have not broken your heart. You have broken it. And in breaking it, you have broken mine. So much the worse for me that I'm strong. Do I want to live? What kind of living will it be when you... Oh, God, would you like to live with your soul in the grave?
Let me alone. Let me alone. If I've done wrong, I'm dying for it. It is enough. You left me too. But I won't upbraid you. I forgive you. Forgive me.
It's hard to forgive and to look at those eyes and feel those wasted hands. Kiss me again and don't let me see your eyes. I forgive what you've done to me. I love my murderer, but yours, how can I?
HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording. HarperCollins has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright law to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio has been provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity provided by UUNet Technologies and by MFS DataNet.